The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
Good evening. Thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you to our door monitor for yeoman service. I don't think I've ever seen the door monitor get up and down. So often, it's wonderful service. I see quite a few very familiar faces and some people who I think I haven't seen, who could be new or just starting to explore the possibilities here. So for those of you who are new, we are in the middle of Ongo, an intensive practice period which goes from December 26th until sometime in March. Don't know exactly when it ends, but anyway, we're in the middle of it. And during these periods, these Ongo periods, we have a study text. And our study text for this particular Ongo period is the 18th century Japanese Zen master, poet, and calligrapher Ryokan. And so I thought I would start off with a very short poem of Ryokan. Kind of funny, kind of bittersweet. It's just a few lines, because I think it gets at something quite important to our practice. He says, "If I say it, it's easy, yet my diarrhea stomach is indeed hard to bear." So if I say diarrhea, it's easy. It's not a problem at all. If I say head cold, no harm done. But saying head cold or diarrhea or war, hatred, saying all these things is quite easy. But the actual experience can be hard to bear. Same thing with love, joy, health, happiness. Saying them is easy, but the words somehow don't bear much relation to the actual experience. And when I say this, when I draw this distinction, it's easy. It's very easy to see, and yet it is almost unbelievable how often we confuse our words and concepts about reality with reality. It's not that words and concepts are excluded from reality. Of course they're not. They exist in reality as words and concepts. But even though it sounds ridiculous, we're constantly doing the equivalent of mistaking the word diarrhea for the actual experience. And this causes us a lot of problems. It's probably the main reason why the human realm is considered to be the realm of delusion. Now, in the human realm, we need words and concepts. We need to communicate with each other. When I say that 8th Street is south of 14th Street, you're all going to understand what I mean, probably. And you're not going to expect to come to 14th Street before you come to 8th Street if you walk north. So this is a very useful to us in the human realm, actually absolutely indispensable. But it does create problems. For instance, I have this mental construct called I, or the ego. And, so I am Ryotan. I'm a Zen teacher at the Village Zendo. I'm in New York. Glad to be here with all of you. That's just fine. But if I think that's who I am, I'm making the mistake that Ryokan pointed to. I'm mistaking the concept of who I am for who I am. So it's not so much that we need to get rid of our egos. We need our egos. They're great. We love our egos. There's nothing wrong with them. But if we think our egos have some kind of enduring reality outside of their existence as mental constructs and concepts, then we're making a very basic mistake, and a mistake that causes terrible problems for us, because in order to communicate with each other and have this great fund of concepts that we share in common and can sort of trade like baseball cards, going back and forth, sharing information, experiences, news and views. In order to do that, we have to separate the self we really are from the self we really are. In other words, so I can tell you about myself, I can tell you where I am, I can tell you my hopes, my fears, and so on. And you will come to share those concepts with me to some extent, but you will not for a single moment have the experience that I am having now. They're not the same thing. I can try to communicate that experience to you as a concept, but I cannot make you have that experience. And so it can be very alienating when we mistake our concept of who we are for who we are. So when I think of the concept of who I am, when I think of Ryotan, I think Ryotan's dissatisfied with this and that and the other thing. And if only Ryotan could improve his mind, if only Ryotan could get enlightened, well, that would be a very good thing. Things would be much better for Ryotan. So the Dharma, enlightenment, Buddha, however you phrase it to yourself, it seems like something that's very far away. It's like, you're on the 1-yard line And it's there, all the 100 yards away. And you've got to try to move the ball there inch by inch by inch. And it can be very daunting as long as you mistake the concept of who you are for who you really are. So, in Zen, we have the teachings that try to nudge us away from our alienation, from our delusion that there are some separation between ourself and Buddha, between ourself and all beings, ourself and the earth. That's only true in our, as we think about the world. It's not true in the world we actually live in. And so there's a very well-known koan where a teacher tries to nudge his student in the right direction. Very simple koan. Tai Bai once asked Basso, "What is Buddha?" Basso answered, "Mind is Buddha." So, what do we mean by mind? It once again directs our attention. So, what is this mind? Is this mind, I wonder what I'm going to say next to these people. Is that mind? Well, that's certainly not excluded from my mind. Or is my mind this brown floor that has never looked this way ever in the past and will never look this way again? Is that my mind? What about the slight cramp in my big toe? Is that my mind? Are they all my mind? Is none of them my mind? Is that Buddha? Can my mind be found in any particular place or mental state? So Master Basso was one of the greatest masters of all time. His Chinese name was Ma Tzu. And there's a very illuminating and famous dialogue between him and his own teacher, Nan Yue Weirong. Basso was one of these extremely impressive Zen students, you know, who you kind of want to punch in the nose sometime. He just had like amazing physical stamina, would sit zazen day and night, eat very little, and one day, the teacher, Nan Wei, happened to see him sitting in his hut in the middle of winter, well past midnight, doing zazen. And he asked, "Well, what are you doing?" And Ma Tzu says, "I'm doing zazen." Nan Yue says, "Why are you doing zazen?" "To become a Buddha." And Nan Yue reached down and picked up a piece of tile, started rubbing it on his sleeve. This seemed kind of weird to Matsu, and he said, what are you doing? Nanyue say, I'm polishing this tile. Why are you doing that? I'm trying to make it into a mirror. How can you make a tile into a mirror by polishing it? Nanyue said, how can you become a Buddha by doing Zazen? At that moment, there was a moment of true teacher-student connection. And Matsu gave up being the best Zen student in the world for a moment anyway. And he said, then what is right? What's this all about? And Nanyue responded kindly, it's like hitching a cart to an ox. If the cart isn't moving, what do? Do you beat the cart? Or do you beat the ox? So, what is this cart that Nanyue is talking about? Well, in this case, he's talking about what Matsu's concept of Zazen is. The cart can be any number of things, but basically what it is we take our ego concept, the cart, and we try to hitch it to enlightenment, right? We try to hitch it to self-improvement. We try to hitch it to wisdom and compassion. And we furiously beat this cart, do lots of zazen. We read lots of sutras, maybe, if we're a certain kind of student. We have lots of discussions and councils and all sorts of jolly good stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. Our founding Japanese teacher, Dogen Zenji, said, you should know that in Buddhism, sometimes we beat the cart. But if you only beat the cart, it's not going to move. You have to be intimate with the ox in order for the cart to move. You have to realize what Matsu was pointing to when he said, mind is Buddha, in order for your cart to truly move and in order for you to realize the great freedom and the great wisdom and compassion that are your birthrights as human beings. Of course, the pitfall in all this Zen teaching is everything becomes a cart, so mind is Buddha, becomes a cart. Well, yeah, Oh, I understand. My mind just as it is Buddha. Got it. So, the reason these teachings seem to be so paradoxical, sometimes sadistically so, is you know, our mind just wants to do that. Our mind just wants to say diarrhea and have it be over with. It wants a place to land. It wants a place to know, to settle down. It wants to find some particular mental state that is it, some particular concept that is the truth. So the ancient masters, out of their great compassion, pull the rug out over and over again. So you lean one way, and the teacher says something over here, and you go, oh, I get it. And you lean over here. He pulls the rug out again, and after a while you don't know which way to lean, or you don't know which end is up or down. So anyway, the story of Tai Bai and his teacher Matsu continues. When he heard mind is Buddha, Tai Bai had a great enlightenment and went to live on top of a mountain in seclusion. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, another monk asked Matsu, what is Buddha? And Matsu said, no mind, no Buddha. And the monk didn't understand, so the monk went up. Matsu sent the monk up the mountain to question Tai Bai. And the monk asked Tai Bai, what is Buddha? And Tai Bai said, mind is Buddha. And the monk said, oh, well, our teacher used to teach that mind was Buddha, but now he teaches us no mind, no Buddha. And Master Tai Bai said, well, that old man can teach what he likes. I still say mind is Buddha. So the monk hurried down the mountain again, and he went back to Matsu, and he said, I don't understand. Well, why did you teach people that mind is Buddha? Matsu said, like giving a baby colored leaves to keep it from crying. Give him something to play with. And the monk said, well, then why did you change? Why do you now say no mind, no Buddha? And Matsu said, like taking the medicine away once the disease has been cured. So I guess the moral of the story is to take all of these teachings, starting with what I'm saying here tonight, realizing that they cannot convey the truth to you. They can point to the truth. You know, there's a saying in Zen, it's like the teachings are like the finger pointing at the moon. They are not the moon itself. So what is that moon? What is that mind? What is that no mind? Where will you look for it? Where will you find it? Ryokan wrote a poem about the image of the finger of the moon and the moon. And so I will leave you with that to take with you as you put on your coats and go out into this cold winter night. He said, "You see the moon by pointing your finger. You recognize the finger by the moon. The moon and the finger are not different, not the same. In order to guide the beginner, this analogy is temporarily used. When you have realized it, there is no moon, no finger." So, bundle up warm before you go home tonight.